All right, welcome everybody to Hebrew Club. We are on this cold day, hot in the middle of a psalm, Psalm 37, and we finished verse 24, the little mem verse, last week. And so we're ready to start verse 25 and get into the nun verse. As you know, notice we go through the acrostic, and hopefully we'll get pretty close to finishing today. I don't know if we'll get all the way through. But again, feel free to ask any questions if you want any clarification. That's what we're here for, all right? So we start with verse 25. Na'ar hayiti gam zakanti velo ra'iti tzadik ne'ezav ve'zaro mevakesh lachem. Okay, na'ar, a youth, the first word you guys learn in Hebrew. I was a youth. Hayiti from Haya, so two easy words. I was a youth. Also, zakanti, I became old. All right, so he's kind of talking about his whole lifespan there. Again, zakain means to be old. It's a stative verb here. So I was a youth. Also, I grew old. Velo ra'iti, and not did I see. Okay, so from ra'a, another call. Not did I see a tzaddik. A righteous person, ne'ezav. That is from the root azav, notice, and it's a nifal participle. All right? And it modifies tzadik. And remember, a lot of these passive verb forms, especially the passive participles, function to modify nouns. So I never saw a righteous man forsaken. Okay? Ve'zaro. And his seed, and here you'd have to translate in English, nor his seed, mevakesh, seeking, okay, a PL participle, mevakesh, seeking bread, lachem. The reason that it's not, notice that you have the comments with the little metheg there, because it's in pause. At the sof pasuk, at the end of the verse, the segel becomes a comments, and that's what you get, okay? Pretty simple syntactically. Any questions on 25? All right. Verse 26. Kol hayom chonein u malveh ve'zaro livraka. Okay. All day. Notice you have two participles here. Chonein, giving, and or giving freely. Chanan, you know, being gracious. That's probably a better way to translate it. And malveh. Notice that that is a hifil participle from lava, masculine singular. All right? And the subject is the tzaddik from the previous verse. See? So I was a youth, I became old, I did never saw a tzaddik forsaken, nor his seed. See? So notice it's talking about the tzaddik and then his sons and daughters. So in the next verse, all day he is gracious, chonein, and malveh, and a person who lends. Notice we had the same root in verse 21. That's the lamed stanza, loveh. Remember the rasha lovez. That's the call participle, the lava. That means he borrows and he doesn't pay back. But here in verse 26, the tzaddik, malveh, he lends. So again, you can think of this as a hendiades. He is gracious and he lends. He lends graciously or lends generously, see? All right? And his seed, so notice again it's paralleling the tzaddik and then his seed. And his seed, notice you don't have a verb here, but you have berakah's blessing. So something like, and his seed is a blessing or becomes a blessing, namely to other people. Okay? And just as he is, by lending so graciously, see? All right, so notice the psalmist is contrasting the pictures of the righteous, the tzaddik, with the rasha. very similar to a lot of other psalms, you know, that contrast is made. But here you see it on the ground, the horizontal plane between human beings. See, just in the way they act in their normal lives. You know, a lot of times the rasha is characterized as plotting against the wicked or the tzaddik, but not here. It's just the rasha never pays back, you know, stuff like that. This guy gives. Yeah?
That verse 25, we need to post down above the food bank and the reseller shop.
Yeah, that's good.
there you go. Great theme verse for down there.
Good thinking. All right, good. Verse 26. Sur merava ase tov ush shakon la'olam. So here you have an imperative from the hollow verb, turn from evil, and ase, another imperative from a third hey verb this time. Turn from evil and do good. Ushakon, another imperative, to dwell. And dwell le'olam, forever. All right. Verse 28, Ki Adonai ohev mishpat velo ya'azov et chasidav. For Yahweh loves mishpat, justice. Okay. And he will not forsake ya'azov chasidav, he will not forsake his faithful ones. Okay. Everybody see where we're going here? Pretty simple syntax and grammar. Le'olam, forever, nishmaru. This is a nifal from shamar. Notice it's a perfect. And it means to guard. So in the nifal, to be guarded. Forever, they are guarded. We might say they are protected. All right. Vezera, but the seed of the reshaim, the seed of the wicked, nikrat. Notice again, that's another nifal. Is cut off. All right, so again, you see the theme of wisdom, the two ways, the parting of the, the two ways are very distinct between the righteous and the wicked. And wisdom always says, in the end, ultimately, those two ways, though they seem blurry or mixed up sometimes in this life, in the end, boom, they're going to be revealed. And they're going to have very different ends, very different destinies. You see that, in Psalm 1 as well. A lot of other places. Okay? Good. Any questions through 28? All right. 29 then. Tzadikim yirshuaretz ve'yishkenu la'ad aleha. The righteous will inherit the earth. Yirash is from Yarash, a simple call, imperfect. Ve'yishkenu, and they will dwell, again, imperfect call from Shakan, and they will dwell la'ad forever aleha, on it. Okay. Verse 30. Pitzadik yigechokma ulashono tedaber mishpat. The mouth of the righteous utters haga. Another call. You saw that in Psalm 1. It means to meditate on. Haga can be used with your mouth or tongue to speak, but it can also be an activity of the mind. In a number of verses, like Psalm 1, he meditates on it, he thinks about it, ruminates about it, that kind of thing. So the mouth of the wicked utters chokmah, wisdom, and his tongue, notice how haga and davar are in parallel here, and his tongue, tedabers, the PL, speaks mishpat, justice. Okay, verse 31. Torat Elohav belibo, the law of God, of his God, is in his heart. Lo, timad ashu rav. All right, timad is a call imperfect from ma'ad, and it means to slip. Notice ashu rav is a plural noun. It means footsteps, ashrim, with the third masculine singular suffix. And that's actually the subject. So notice that the verb is singular, the subject is plural. You have some incongruency of number. You translate, his footsteps will not slip. All right? So again, the whole verse, the Torah of his God is in his heart. Not will his footsteps slip. I was curious to see what the number of the verb would be in other texts where Ashurim is the subject. And it's kind of interesting. There's like two or three other places. Okay. So in Psalm 16, you have the plural Ashurim, and the verb is an infinitive absolute. So that doesn't help you. But in two or three other cases, the verb was also singular where Ashurim is plural. It's kind of interesting. There was no cases in which Asherim was the subject with a plural verb. Except one case in the Psalms, the kativ was singular, but the kare, what they wanted you to read, was plural. So it's kind of interesting.
Working like a collective singular?
You just have that. You just have that kind of peculiarity with that word. You know, it's kind of weird to take it as a... It's not a collective because it's a plural noun, you know. Usually the collective is a singular noun, and you might sometimes see that with plural verb forms. Okay.
So it's the opposite.
So here, you don't have that. So I don't know if it's just... We don't have enough other texts to decide how the breakdown would be in longer.
Or his footsteps may be just a metaphor for... His path.
Right, his life, his. Well, it's a metaphor for his determination to live in a certain way. So he's not going to fall to temptation. See, notice that, again, you're dealing with a metaphor. I mentioned this last week. Life is a journey. It's a huge metaphor in wisdom literature. You see it in Psalm 1, other wisdom psalms. You see it here. So it helps you think about life in certain ways. If life is a journey, what path are you going to take? Where are you going to end up? Who's going to be your companions on the way? Who are you going to listen to for directions? You know, how steady is your footing? So you see how it helps you think about life in certain ways. So when he says the Torah of law is in his heart, see, that means, notice that it's in his heart, it's a part of him, you know. And his footsteps won't slip means he is not going to go against the will. It's in his heart. Yeah.
Like it's being firmly established.
Yeah.
Meditation.
Right. Right.
A path under my feet.
Right. Okay. 32. Zofer Rasha Latzadik Umevakesh Lahamito. Zofe is another participle. Notice that the predominant verb forms here are participles, right? And we would just translate them as presence because we're dealing, it seems to be general truth. So the wicked, Zophe, watches Latzadik for the righteous, namely with a negative intent, see? Umevakesh, here's that PL again from Bakash, and he seeks Lahamito, to kill him. That's a hifil infinitive construct from moot, all right? And notice how it is the object of the verb he seeks what? To kill him. Okay. Questions on 32? All right, 33. Adonai lo ya'az venu beyado velo yarshi enu behishafto. Yahweh will not forsake him. Notice that's another kind of minor theme we've seen in this, that azav has come up several times. So Yahweh will not forsake him or leave, forget him. Not forsake is probably the best. That's just a simple call verb, into his hand, namely into the hand of the wicked. So Yahweh will not forsake the righteous to the hand of the wicked. Remember, Yad is sometimes used for power, control. Okay? And not will he... Okay, notice Rasha. Here's a good example. In the call form, Rasha means to be wicked. In the hip, this is a hifil imperfect, though. And it would be... here's a declarative sense. He will not declare him guilty or wicked. Behishaf to. Notice that that is a nifal from pash, or a hif, nifal from shafat, to judge. Okay, you see it's a nifal infinitive construct. Nifal. Hikatol, Niktol. Those are the two possibilities. So Yahweh will not forsake him into his hand, and he will not declare him guilty in his being judged. And we would translate that temporally, when he is judged. So notice he seems to be moving kind of to a more ultimate perspective there in that last part. Okay. Questions on verse 33? A couple of interesting constructions in that. All right. We go to Kof, verse 34. Kaveh el Adonai Ushamor Darko. There's a PL, and it's an imperative. So hope or wait for Yahweh, and keep, another imperative, his way, Darko. Viromim Mecha, Lareshet Aretz, Behikaret Rasha'im Tir'eh. This is from Rum, and notice it's a polel imperfect. And he will exalt you or lift you up, la reshet. Ah, what's the root? Here's my question for the day. Reshet. Notice its segulat form?
Yarash.
First yud. Remember those first yuds form their infinitive constructs like segulat nouns. So yashav would be shevet, yarash is reshet. Yeah, the same thing with lakach is kachat. Remember you got that T ending? So, he will exalt you to inherit the earth from Yarash. Okay? Now again, here's another Nifal infinitive from Karat. Karat means to cut off. Alright? So this is to be cut off. So it's in his being cut off. Okay? Or in the being, and notice it's Reshaim. Okay, what's the relation between those two? Reshaim is the subject. In the being cut off of the wicked, Tir'eh, you will see. So you will look, or you will see, when the wicked are cut off, is in more idiomatic English. So again, the whole line, Yahweh is the subject. Yahweh will exalt you to inherit the earth. Okay? When the wicked are cut off, you will see. Basically how it goes. Okay, so again, another kind of interesting, some interesting grammar, syntax, morphology there. Questions in 34. We're moving right along. All right, verse 35. Ra'iti rasha aritz u'mit areke ezrach ra'anan. I saw rasha wicked. Now, aritz is like a violent one, or a, yeah. So I saw the violent wicked.
Kind of like a ruthless wickedness or something.
Yeah. And one, being poured out or something like that. See, ara means to strip bare. This is a hitpael participle. And as these are very rare words, and so that's why you have a lot of, there's some textual problems with this verse, actually. Ezrach is thought to be a native plant, okay? And ra'anan means luxurious. So like a luxurious native plant, okay? Pouring himself out or a lot of translations suggest that this means spreading out, like his roots, spreading out. I mean, it's what the word means, that mit ares, hard. So it's usually thought of like a native luxurious plant spreading himself out. So I saw, in other words, the wicked is really prospering and growing. That's what he saw, okay? Because that now happens in contrast to the next verse, vaya'avor v'hine einenu. And he avard, passed over, or passed away, and look, einenu, he is gone, he is not. Okay, so notice the contrast then. I saw a rasha aritz, a cruel, wicked one, and he was spreading himself out like a luxurious native plant, you know, like crabgrass around here. All right. Then he passed away, and look, einenu, he is gone. Okay, and now he follows that up. Va'avak shehu, and I sought him. There's the PL from Bakash again. Vav consecutive. I sought him. Velo nimtza, and there's the nifal again. And not was he found. I sought him, and he was not found. Okay. Good. Four more verses here. Shmar tam ure yashar. Notice how the psalmist moves from imperatives to indicatives, from description to exhortation. So shamar is another imperative, tam. So guard Tom, integrity. Okay? Ura'e, and look at Yashar. Or guard the, you could also translate these as people. Guard the one with integrity, and look at the upright. Okay? Ki acharit, for there is an acharit, there is an end. But this is end in a positive sense, a future. La'ish shalom, for a man of peace. Okay? For a man of peace. Verse 38, u'posha'im, but the one who transgresses, that's a participle, the one who transgresses, nishmadu, shamad means to destroy, is another nifal perfect. So the ones who transgress, the transgressors, will be and notice you almost have to translate this because he's talking about what's going to happen. So he uses two perfect verbs, but you almost have to translate as transgressors will be destroyed yachdav altogether. Okay? Now, acharit reshaim, we would probably say the future of the wicked, the acharit, the end of the wicked, nikrata, will be cut off. Notice that you have another nifal perfect form. Acharit's the subject, so it's a third feminine singular. All right? But notice what he's saying in verse 37. He's exhorting them to guard Tom and look at uprightness, for there is a future to the man of peace. See, he's talking about that. There is an end. But the wicked will be totally cut off. So you almost have to translate that those perfects that way, not as... This, he's not making so much a prediction, but kind of an assertion of the truth of what he's saying. He's kind of really strongly asserting his belief that this is the case, that the wicked, and again, you see the parting of the two ways that he's talking about here. All right. Verse 39, now the last little bit here. U'teshuat zari kim me'aronai. This is from Yasha, to save, teshuat, construct form, and the salvation of the tzadikim, of the righteous, is from Adonai, from Yahweh. Ma'uzam be'et zara, their ma'oz, their stronghold, so he is their stronghold, be'et zara, in the time of trouble. Okay. Va'ya'az reim Yahweh va'yepal tem. So, Yahweh helps them. Notice the Vav consecutive here. And Yefal Tame, this is from Palat, PL form. And Palat means to redeem, and redeems them. Yefal Tame, he redeems them. Notice how you have that, again, the PL form. He redeems them. Me Reshaim, from the wicked. Ve Yoshi Aim, this is a Hifil, imperfect, from Yasha, to save. And he saves them, ki chasu, for they seek refuge in him. Okay? Chasa is a call, perfect, third plural, from means to seek refuge, for they seek refuge in him. Good, that makes us finished with 37. Way to go. Any questions? On these last three verses.
Yeah, we worked so hard.
Well, you did, you know.
Yeah,
we got
just
through
just
it.
Just sitting here and listening to you.
There you go. So any questions through that? Got through the whole acrostic. Look at that. It's pretty good. All right. Very good. So we'll start 38. We go to a lament here. A couple laments in 38 and 39, and we'll do that next week. All right?
Thank you.
All right.
Thank
You're welcome.
You.
Thank you.